Tonight we are going to continue our series through the book of Romans, and here we are tonight in Romans chapter 5, and I want us to think about a question to get started. When did Jesus die for you? I don't mean historically. I'm not looking for a specific date on the calendar. What I'm asking is this: what were you like when Jesus gave his life for you? What kind of person were you? One might say, hey, I wasn't even alive when Jesus died on the cross. Once again, we're not talking about chronological time here. We're talking about the kind of person we were when Jesus gave his life at Calvary. What kind of people did Jesus sacrifice his life for? What were we like when he gave up everything? Paul provides the answer to that question in Romans chapter 5. Here in Romans chapter 5, Paul paints a picture of who we were, what we were like when Jesus gave his life for us. And within these verses, we have perhaps the greatest transformation described. And the transformation involves us. It shows us what's possible through Jesus. And there's really two pictures that you'll find here in Romans chapter 5, a picture of who we are without Christ and a picture of who we can be through him. Let's listen to these words once again. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The Apostle Paul gives four answers to the question that I brought to your attention a moment ago. Who were we when Jesus died for us? What kind of people were we? Well, Paul, he reveals the answer. He says that Christ died for us when we were powerless, when we were helpless. That Jesus died for us when we were ungodly. That he gave his life at Calvary when we were sinners. And finally, Jesus sacrificed all while we were God's enemies. Now, that's quite a resume. That's quite a list of words to describe who we are without Jesus. And that's exactly the place we were at when Jesus made the decision to give his life for us. And there's actually a progression in these terms from bad to worse. We're used to hearing the familiar phrase, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Well, when we look at our condition without Jesus, it goes from bad to worse. We were not just powerless, we were also ungodly. We were not just ungodly, we were also sinners. And if that word doesn't do justice to where we are without Jesus, Paul sums it up by showing that we were God's enemies. And Paul lets us know that in spite of all of this, in spite of who we were, Jesus died for us at just the right time. The perfect time for Jesus to die for us was when we were in this condition. What exactly does Paul mean when he says that Jesus died for us at just the right time? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches us that God sent his Son in the fullness of time. That's what Paul writes to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 4. Paul is describing to these churches the timing in which Jesus decided to give his life. The fullness of time referred to the time when God ordained that everything was ready for the coming of Jesus into the world. The sending of his Son happened at God's appointed time. And even as we study Jesus' life through the Gospels, Jesus always did everything on God's timing. Now, we like to do things on our own timing. We like to come and go as we please. We want to be free. We want to be in charge of ourselves. But everything really follows God's timing. And Jesus stands out as an example of what it looks like to live your life according to God's timetable. And it was according to God's timetable when Jesus came to earth. All of the grand events of God's plan for the redemption of humanity were scheduled in advance. In fact, they go all the way back to eternity past. Before God created all things, before God spoke the worlds into creation, He had this plan in place. You were not an afterthought to God. Our salvation, our redemption, Jesus coming to life and giving His life for us, this was all part of God's eternal plan. From the beginning, God planned everything, including the final judgment itself being a planned and scheduled event. So at just the right time, God sent His Son. The instruction period had been long enough. The world conditions were just right. And this includes where humanity found itself in relationship to God. Jesus' coming to earth was the central event in all of history. All prior time looked forward to this event. All time following looks back to it. The time that He and Christ decided together before the world was created was just the right time. I believe there's another thought we need to consider. Not only were the world conditions just right, you can study Rome and see what Rome had done historically at that time, building roads, making it possible to go and preach the gospel in a more convenient way, but also we have to consider the condition of humanity. It was when we were powerless, ungodly, sinners, and enemies of God. This also was just the right time for Jesus to die for us. One of the struggles that we read about in the first century was a group of people who thought they could do things on their own. A group of people who thought that through their own actions, through their own righteousness, that they could attain relationship with God. There are some things that we're helpless to do on our own. And it seems that people finally came to this conclusion. Before we will ever embrace Jesus, we have to see our great need for Him. Let's look at a couple of reasons why the spiritual condition of humanity also contributed to this being the right time. If Jesus had waited for us to improve ourselves, He would still be waiting, wouldn't He? If Jesus had waited to come to earth until we got our lives all pulled together on our own, and that we had learned to resist sin, and we had learned to build a relationship with God without Him, we followed God's laws perfectly, there would have been no reason for Him to have died. And that's a mentality that we battle because we're taught that we need to be independent. We're taught that we need to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and make things happen on our own. There's some things we can't make happen on our own. The whole purpose of Jesus' death was to bring us back to God. And sometimes as we study the entire Bible, we'll miss the big picture. We will miss what God wants. The story of the Bible from beginning to end is a story about relationship. God wants relationship with His creation. And it's Jesus who makes it possible. It is like what Jesus said to the Pharisees of His day. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We were the ones who were sick. We were the ones who were sinners. We were the ones who desperately needed Jesus. We need to realize who we are without Jesus. We need to realize what we were when He gave His life for us at Calvary. And here's the picture once again. We were powerless. This word means without strength. It is sometimes translated sick or weak. We can connect to this thought physically. If you've lived long enough, you have been at a point in life when you felt powerless physically. Maybe it was because of fatigue, perhaps because of an injury or an illness. We've all been in a place where we felt powerless. Nearly 5 years ago, I had neck surgery. And before I had neck surgery, my left arm was completely weak. There was absolutely no strength in my left arm. It was a humbling experience. And we've been there physically. We know what it's like to be without strength at times physically. Imagine being in this place spiritually. Because that's what Paul is talking about. Too weak to take another step spiritually. Too weak to resist another temptation. Too weak to withstand another disappointment. This is what Paul is referring to. It's not that we were physically weak when Jesus died for us. Rather, we were powerless to resist sin, powerless to do right, powerless to help ourselves, to bring ourselves back to God. In John 6, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." In other words, we did not even have the strength to come to Jesus for salvation. God the Father had to draw us to His Son. God the Father had to pull us to His Son. Paul expressed it this way in the book of Ephesians. "God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." When we were dead spiritually, when we were dead in our sins with no spiritual life whatsoever, no desire for God in ourselves, God made us alive through Jesus Christ. Some would say that God helps those who help themselves. What of those who are helpless? What of those who are without strength? In Romans 5, Paul lets us know that our God died for us when we were exactly this, powerless, helpless, without strength. And then we have this word ungodly. This word means without reverence or worship. The emphasis here is not so much on wickedness or evil, but rather a wrong attitude towards God. If you were going to define the word attitude, there's a three-word definition that adequately describes it. Attitude is how you think. It's what's going on up here in your mind. It's how we think about life, how we think about God, how we think about Jesus. This is what Paul was talking about back in Romans 1. In Romans 1, Paul writes, "For although they knew God," they knew that God existed, "they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him." How do you feel about God? What thoughts do you think about God? How would you describe your attitude concerning your Father, concerning your Savior? What thoughts do we have concerning Him? Do we have a bad attitude towards God? Do we seek to push Him out of our life? Do you have a desire to worship and glorify your Father and Creator? Do you sometimes think that you're trapped in a spiritual rut that you just cannot get out of? Don't give up. All of those questions that I asked you, probably at one time or another, we would answer yes. I've been there. In Paul's words in Romans 5, it's encouragement. Don't give up. This is why Jesus came to earth. It's why He gave His life. He gave His life for the ungodly. He gave His life for us who sometimes have bad attitudes towards God. He died for those who struggle in their thoughts and struggle in their attitude. Jesus can save the powerless. He can also save the ungodly. He can overcome human weakness. He can give us a new attitude, a new way of thinking. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul, he's writing to the church of Philippi. And here in Philippians 2, he's urging them to think a certain way. And he brings a certain mindset to their attention. And he tells them, have the mind of Jesus. Learn to think the way Jesus thought in His life. You talk about a challenging endeavor. You want to challenge yourself spiritually? Challenge yourself to think the way Jesus thought. Challenge yourself to think about others the way He thought about others. Challenge yourself to think about forgiveness the way He thought about forgiveness. Challenge yourself to think about patience the way He thought about it. Sacrifice. The list goes on. You talk about a tough task. As Christians, our goal is to live for Jesus. I've never met a Christian who doesn't have that in their thought process. We want to live a life that's centered on Jesus. Before you can live for Jesus, you have to learn to think like Jesus. Because you will become your thoughts. That's why attitude is so important. And so we're challenged to think the way that Jesus thought. When the scripture says that Christ died for the ungodly, it means not only did He die in our place, but also for our benefit. We have a wonderful Savior. What an awesome Savior we have who gave His life for our benefit. Jesus Christ, the only one who truly worshiped God the Father in spirit and truth, He gave His life for ungodly people, for people who had bad attitudes, for people who were helpless to help themselves. Because all of us have been there. If you've seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy, you've seen these pictures of Groot. When you see one of the movies, you see Baby Groot, and what an amazing character. You just want to take the little tree home and just have it a part of your life. And then at the end of that movie, you're introduced to Teenage Groot. The cuteness of Baby Groot quickly gives way to the not-so-cute Teenager Groot. Every parent has firsthand knowledge of this transformation. We've seen this happen in our homes. But still yet, every parent in here would sacrifice everything, not only for their cute baby, but also for their sassy teenager with a bad attitude. I'm not talking about you, Jalen. Well, sometimes. That's what Jesus did for us. He didn't die for us when we were cute and cuddly. He died for us when we had the bad attitude, when we were ungodly. He died for us when we didn't have good thoughts about His Father. But that's not it. Not only were we powerless, not only were we ungodly, but we have this word sinner. Paul's contrast of Christ's willingness to die for sinners with our own hesitation, it stands out. Because we're hesitant to give our life for just anybody. Perhaps there are certain people that we would be willing to give our lives for. This word sinner, it refers to anyone who has fallen short or missed the mark. Literally, the word means to miss the mark. And this is everybody. We have all fallen short of God's standards. We've all fallen short of the mark that our Father has set for us. When Jesus died for us, we were neither righteous nor good. We were sinners. And so Paul, he's painting a picture of humanity. Maybe there's somebody out there who's righteous that you're willing to give your life for. Maybe there's a good man who's willing to step in and sacrifice his life for somebody. Jesus did this for us when we were sinners. The cross was not only a demonstration of Jesus' love for us, but it was also a demonstration of God's love. It was God's love that moved Him to do this. Some people have the misplaced idea that God was mad at us because of sin. And so Jesus died on the cross to appease God's anger. People sometimes think of God as angry and Jesus as loving. Paul clearly tells us that Christ's death on the cross was a demonstration of God's own love toward us. Our Father willingly sent His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross. So let's take a look at our resume thus far. We're powerless, we're ungodly, and were sinners. There's one last phrase I want you to consider. We were also God's enemies. This means that sin is not only a failure, it's not only a falling short of God's will, but it is also rebellion, a refusal to do God's will. It's not that we want to do God's will and fall short. We fall short because we don't want to do God's will to begin with. We want to live for ourselves. And when we do that, when we make that choice to elevate ourselves above God, to elevate the fleeting pleasure of sin above God, we place ourselves in opposition to God. As God's enemies, we were not only hostile towards God, but we were under God's judgment and God's wrath. The phrase God's enemies captures both humanity's hostility toward God and God's hostility toward evil. In these verses, Paul addresses the question of the believer who has obeyed Jesus in faith. Because not only do we need to see these words that describe us without Christ, we also have to see the other side. We have to see the transformation that can be ours. I know for the older people in here, you can think back to the 80s when glamour shots was very popular. Some of you may still have a glamour shot picture right there on your dresser at home. If you do, that's great. But back in the 80s, everybody would go and get these glamour shots, and glamour shots would always have the before and after pictures there in their studio. This is what somebody looked before, this is what they look like after. And that's what we see here in Romans chapter 5. We see the before picture, but we also have to see what's possible through Jesus. Do you ever wonder about the final judgment? Do you ever wonder if you'll make the cut? Don't we have those thoughts at times that we're not good enough? That there's no way we can make it? We look at our lives and we think about our past. We examine the mistakes and we know them. We can just start listing them off one by one. I remember when I did this. I remember when I did that. I remember this bad choice, that bad choice. And the list, it just keeps growing because we've lived it. And we think to ourselves, there's no way I can make it to heaven. Do you live with assurance of your salvation? We sang the song this morning, Blessed Assurance. Or do we live with a fear of God's wrath? God's wrath refers to God's righteous anger towards sin and His just punishment of sin. And apart from Jesus, that's where we are. Without Jesus, that's what we're in line to receive. But through Jesus Christ, everything changes. Through Jesus Christ, we are transformed. Paul assures us that if you are in Christ, then there's nothing the same about you. Who you are now in Christ is more important than who you were without Him. What you have in front of you now because you're a Christian, the purpose, the mission, the direction of our life, all of that, that's more important than who we were. It's more important than the fact that we were helpless, that we were ungodly, that we were sinners, that we were God's enemies, because through Jesus Christ, all of that is gone. All of that has changed. Instead of being powerless, you now have strength. Instead of being ungodly, you are now godly. Instead of being a sinner, you are now saved, justified by His blood. Instead of being God's enemy, you are now reconciled. That relationship is mended. That's what Jesus can bring into your life. These verses detail a transformation unlike any you've ever seen. And all of this is possible for one reason. It's all possible because Jesus died. It's all possible because Jesus gave His life for us. Those who were powerless, those who were ungodly, those who were sinners, those who were God's enemies. On September 29th, 2006, Navy SEAL Michael Mansour was on a rooftop in Baghdad. And he was on that rooftop with three Iraqi soldiers and two other Navy SEALs. Suddenly, a grenade flew out of nowhere onto the roof. Mansour was in a position where he could have easily just run down some stairways and saved his life. But then the other soldiers would have been killed or injured. So instead, he jumped on the grenade and took the full force of the blast. And he was killed instantly by the explosion of the grenade. He sacrificed his life to save others. Five other men were saved because of what he did. When we hear stories like this, and there are so many stories that are just like this one that come to us from overseas, the bravery of our men and women who fight for our country. When we hear these stories, we are rightly amazed at the bravery of people and his sacrifice for his friends. But remember this. Jesus died for us when we weren't God's friend. That's unheard of. It doesn't make sense. How can anyone die for the enemy? And yet, that's exactly what Jesus did. Very rarely will one die for a good or righteous man. But Jesus died for us when we were powerless, when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were God's enemies. And through that sacrifice, everything can change. Everything can be transformed in our lives. Instead of having these words describe us, instead of having a resume that looks like this, through Jesus Christ, everything can be made new. That's the message that Paul is sharing in Romans 5, 6 through 10. Who you were isn't as important as who you can be through Jesus Christ. And tonight, if you need to be baptized into our Savior, if you need the prayers of your church family, we're here to help each other and encourage each other. If we can do anything for you tonight, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.